Genesis 37, 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And then verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. On graduate Sunday, not just to graduates, but to everyone in the house, I'd like to speak to you on the subject, dream again. And you may be seated. Joseph is one of the central figures of the Old Testament Bible. He is the son of Jacob, who was also called Israel, who fathered 12 sons who became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob by Rachel, who is also the mother of Benjamin. The story of Joseph fills a full 14 chapters in the first book of our Bible. He is a significant Bible character. He was very close to his father, and evidently his brothers at times did things they shouldn't do. And the Bible said that Joseph brought an evil report to his father. He told on them, and they didn't appreciate it, didn't like Joseph. Joseph was loved by his father, but hated by his brothers. The Bible says that they could not even speak peaceably to him. They didn't have anything good to say about him or to him. Sounds like Jacob kind of set Joseph up for this. He was the favored child. The Bible is very plain about this. Joseph was his favorite son, and he showed it by making Joseph a coat of many colors. Most of us learned that when we were in Sunday school, but think about these boys, and Joseph alone is dressed in a multicolored fancy coat. These men are sheep herders, and they're dressed like a sheep herder dresses, rather plainly in rugged clothing, kind of the modern day version of jeans for cowboys. And Joseph is dressed to the nines. His dad has favored him. And then Joseph dreams a dream. And he tells it to his brethren, and they hate him even more. He said, let me tell you the dream I dreamed. We were out working in the fields. I wonder if they thought, when was that, that we were out working in the fields? But anyway, we were out working in the fields, and we were binding together bundles of wheat into sheaves. That's what they called them in the Bible days. You ever heard of sheaves for Christ? Bundles of wheat. And he said, my sheaves stood up real straight and tall, and all of your bundles of wheat bowed down to my sheaf. Well, they didn't really like that very much, that this little punk brother was seeing himself exalted above them. And the Bible said that they hated him more for his dreams and for his words, that he was naive enough to tell them about his dream. Well, to make matters worse, Joseph then dreamed another dream. Now, I want to pause the story before I get to that dream to tell you a little bit about Jacob's dream. When God gave Joseph a dream, it was of a special future that God had designed for him. And every time God gives a dream to one of his children, his sons and daughters, it may be a dream of warning, but it is always of a preferable future. It's a picture of something special that God has designed for his people. He may not always reveal the rough road between here and there, But God always shows us a place he desires to take us that would be for our good and for his glory. Our stories may not be as spectacular as Joseph's or some of the other key Bible characters, but we are God's children, and he sees the future for us as blessed, as fruitful or prosperous for his will and for his glory. And then Joseph dreams again. And this is another God dream. His dreams were not the result of a late night trip to Taco Bell. His dreams were God ordained and God inspired. His dreams were not the product of an overactive imagination. They did not arise out of a sense of entitlement. God gave Joseph these dreams. Now, I want to just pause right now to tell you that I still believe that God gives literal dreams and he gives spiritual visions of the future. But the same God that gave Joseph a dream can give you a spiritual dream to shed light on his will for your life. Amen. Joseph did not fabricate his dreams. The second dream went like this. He said, I dreamed a dream, Genesis 37, 9, and the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. That would be refer to his mom, his dad, his 11 brothers. They all worship me, or not worship, but bow down to me. And they said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? His father was like, what in the world has gotten into you, Joseph? His brother, are you telling us that your mom and I and all of your brothers are going to bow down to you? His brothers envied him. But his dad observed the saying. He kind of filed it away for future reference. In his second dream, Joseph sees his entire family bowing down to him, and his brothers are livid. They already hate him. He's a tattletale. He's a favorite kid. He's the only one of two born of Rachel. So Leah, Bildad, and the other wives, there are four women involved in these 12 sons. They're not real happy about this. Then one day, Jacob sends the boys down to Shechem to watch sheep. Everybody but Joseph. And then he says, Joseph, I want you to go down and check on your brothers. He wanders around in the field, gets lost. That's an interesting part of this story. And finally, he gets guided to where his brothers are. And they see him coming. How do they recognize the kid with the coat of many colors? And when they saw him coming, the Bible says in Genesis 37, 18, that they conspired against him to slay him. They're going to kill the dreamer. And they said, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come therefore, let us slay him and cast him into a pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dream. Don't ever wonder, there are a lot of people who would love to kill the dream that God has given you. Reuben, his older brother, tries to step in, and they take Joseph and throw him in a pit. The Bible is clear to say there's no water there, so he didn't drown. Reuben evidently goes away for a little while. I don't know where he is. But some traders come by. Two groups of them evidently, and Midianite merchant men. And they decide, it would be better if we could profit from our brother's mysterious disappearance. So instead of killing him, let's sell him. There's a lot of people that would like to sell you out too, right? They sell him as a slave, and in turn, they take him to Egypt and sell him again to a man named Potiphar. Reuben comes back and looks down in the pit, and Joseph is gone. What have you done with my brother? He had in the back of his mind that he would kind of save Joseph and get him back to his dad. And now he's gone, disappeared, sold away for 20 pieces of silver. So they go, oh, now we got a problem. We're going to have to figure out a way to convince dad of what happened. They kill an animal, take the coat of many colors, dip it in the blood, take it back home as evidence. And Jacob does the imagining himself. A wild beast has devoured him, and now my boy and the dreamer is dead. Let me ask you a question today. What has become of your dreams? What has happened to the dreams that God planted in your spirit that he put in your mind? It may have not been a literal dream, but when God saved you by filling you with his spirit, he also gifted you. And he put in your heart and mind a desire to do something for his glory that would also be for your good in an area where you are gifted. What has become of the dream that God gave you? You see, I don't believe that any of us dreamed of dropping out of the dream, whether it is school or college or a plan that God had given you for your life. What happened to your dream of a happy, successful marriage? You didn't dream of divorce. You didn't dream of your children walking away from God. You didn't dream of being in a dead-end career, of getting up every morning to fight traffic and being miserable. When God put a dream in your heart, you saw it as good because it came from God. But what has become of your dream? You didn't dream of being so caught up in the rat race that you couldn't be effective for God's glory. You saw yourself doing something that mattered with your life. What has become of your dream? You didn't dream of being a failure in your life. When God gave you a dream, it was a picture of a special future that God had for you. I am convinced that all God's kids have been given dreams of a place of serving him where they would be fulfilled and fruitful at the same time. You see, Jesus came to give you life and a more abundant life, but some of our dreams have been choked out by the cares of this life. That's why I've come today to encourage you to dream again. Now, between the dream and the fulfillment of Joseph's dream, a lot happened. And this story is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. We learn in the story of Joseph only because we get to read it after it is finished, that while Joseph was waiting, God was working. It's important for you to understand this, that while you feel like you are waiting for the dream to come true, that God is working behind the scenes. He is not asleep at the wheel. The life of Joseph involved God taking Joseph from Israel down to Egypt, where later he could save his family in a famine. God knew it from the beginning. God gave other people dreams that Joseph would interpret that were part of his dream. The butler, the baker, and Pharaoh all dreamed dreams that God had in mind when he gave Joseph his two dreams. While we're waiting for the dream to come to pass, God is at work. And I have found in my life and from the stories in the Bible and the lives of other people that most of the work that God is doing, he is doing on us. While we are waiting, God is working. And he's mostly working on us. I want to show you this in the Bible in Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. God had a day when a word of deliverance would come, but until that day, while Joseph was waiting, God was working. God was working on Joseph until the day that the king sent and loosed him and let him go free. You see, the Lord purified the character of Joseph when he resisted the temptation from Potiphar's wife, who was trying to entice him to commit adultery. Joseph had to overcome the feeling that he had been forgotten when his dream seemed to be on hold forever. When Pharaoh's butler promised to get him out and forgot him, God had to keep Joseph there. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 40:23, that Joseph was simply forgotten. And then I have learned that sometimes just the passage of time causes people to give up on the dreams that God has given them. Joseph's dreams were years in the making. He was 17 years old when he dreamed his dreams. He was 30 years old when he appeared before Pharaoh and was elevated to what we would call prime minister of Egypt. 13 years went by from the time Joseph dreamed his dreams and the time he stood before Pharaoh and was brought out of prison and exalted to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. It would be another long 9 years before his brothers would bow down to him, because that was the dream he dreamed. 7 years of famine, of plenty, and 2 years into the famine before his dreams would finally come to pass. Joseph would be almost 40 years old when his dreams finally came true. 23 long years before God's dreams for Joseph's life would come to pass. But I want to remind you what I said earlier, is that while you are waiting, God is working. Amen. While you may feel that your dream is under attack from God's point of view, God's dream is under construction. While you are waiting, God is working. God is at work. You see, God's promises are always packaged in a process. Jesus described this process in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus was speaking of his impending death, that if a seed remains in its form above the ground, it will never accomplish anything. But when it falls into the ground and the process of germination takes place, when it falls into the ground and dies, then it brings forth much fruit. There is a seed that is a promise. There is a death that appears to be the death of the promise. And then there is a fulfillment of what God promised from the beginning. This is a process of the ways of God. There is a dream that is born in us. It contains the hope of a future harvest or ministry or blessing in business. We see that God has put in us a passion, a desire for something good and great for his glory. The seed itself, the dream itself, is a promise. Joseph's dreams painted a picture of the future that God planned for him all along. There is always the birth of the dream. Have you ever noticed that when Satan makes a promise, it's all about now. It's all about the pleasures of sin now for a season. It's the promise he made to Jesus. If you'll worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. No worries about death, burial. No worries about a cross and pain. I'll give it all to you now. That's the instantaneous false promises of Satan. But he always prostitutes the promises of God. He always promises what he ultimately cannot deliver. He says he will give it to you without a process, without pain, without the passing of time. That is not how God works. God gives you faith in the future. He gives you a promise, a dream. And then always that dream will become humanly impossible. It will be out of reach. It may become obscure. It will seem that it will never happen. If you read the stories of great Bible heroes, this is always the way that God worked in the lives of Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus. They always went through this same process. Because God will make sure that when the dream comes to pass, that no flesh will glory in his presence in the fulfillment of the dream. The dream always dies. For Joseph, it's being sold into slavery. It's being lied on and thrown in prison. It's being forgotten by the butler and the baker. But when God gives this dream, he will always bring it to pass. You see, we live but the reality of our present circumstances. The dream that was so real when we had it becomes vague when we're in the prison of waiting. The Bible speaks of those who through faith and patience obtain the promises of God. The Bible said that you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. God always inserts a period of waiting, of the patience that must be developed in us. While we are waiting, God is working, and most of the work he does is in us and on us. Until our word comes, the word of the Lord tries us. That is always the way the Lord works. And in the middle of that process, there are times we wonder whether it was God or Taco Bell. Where did that come from? Was that the voice of God? Was that a dream that the Lord put in my spirit? Whether literal or spiritual? Was this birthed in me by the Lord? Was it some crazy desire? Was it a great church service or a moving message or something else? Joseph certainly had to wonder along the way that while he thought that his dream was under attack, that it was actually under construction, that every piece of the puzzle fit perfectly to the final portrait that God had designed for his life. Satan will always attack the plan of God. In fact, Joseph's father along the way, Jacob, he thinks about this and he says, you know what, this is a terrible tragedy in our family. Joseph is dead, he thinks. Simeon is dead, he thinks. You're trying to take Benjamin away. And Jacob says, all these things are against me. Everything that God was doing for him, he thought God was allowing to be done against him. And I want to encourage you today that though you may not be able to see it right now, it may be underground, it may be obscure, you may think that it is dead. If God birthed it in you, he will bring it to pass. But when he does, it will be bigger and greater than it could ever be if it was just your dream alone. See, Joseph told his brothers in the end, "You meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it unto me for good, to save much people alive as it is at this day." This was God's work in my life. And every time it looked like that there was a setback, it was God setting him up for the future that he had planned for him. Perhaps you remember on Easter that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that I preached about, that while Satan thought it was the end of God's plan, it was just the beginning of God's plan. It was what the Lord had in mind from the very beginning. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And what Satan did to try to destroy God's plan, God used to fulfill his plan. And I don't know what's coming against you, but don't get out of the trial. Stay in the course. Stay in the process. While you are waiting, God is working. There is a dream. There is the death of the dream or the vision. And there is the supernatural fulfillment of what God had promised. When it becomes humanly impossible and the dream seems dead to us, like in the case of Abraham and Sarah, promised a son, but Sarah is barren, then Abraham and Sarah become too old to have children. And only when human ability is completely dead does God now say, "It's time." But along the way and along the waiting and along the assault on the dream that God plants in us, don't ever think that God is somewhere in a corner of heaven wringing his hands and wiping his brow and having to take something for ulcers. God is not worried about his plan. If he has a concern, it's that we will not jump ship, that we will not quit, that we will not give up. You have need of patience, I said, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive a promise. There's a Jewish boy in jail in Egypt. He has no connections. There's no way he's going to get out. And then just like that, in a single day, the butler remembers, and Pharaoh's had a dream that he doesn't know what to do with. And in a single day, everything that God had promised, everything that Joseph had waited 23 long years on, and not at that time, of course, we've got 9 more years to go, but everything to the age of about 30 or so, while Joseph is waiting, God is working. In a single day, he's called out of prison. Until the word, his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, but there was a day when the word of the Lord came in. They sent for him in prison. "Hey, Joseph, get cleaned up. Pharaoh wants to talk to you." And I know that this seems so foreign to us because we think that God's plan, you know, while it just seems like nothing is happening, that it will never happen. But I just want you to see in God's word over and over again, in a single day, in a single moment, everything that God has promised can come to fruition just like that. So my message to you today is, even though you may feel like the dream God first gave you is somehow lost in space and that nothing is really taking place, I want to encourage you today to dream again and not give up on the dreams that God has given you. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? And would you ask the Lord to revive what he planted in your spirit? Would you ask him right now to help you believe in the dream that God has given you? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You see, you may have been disappointed by the passing of time, but I dare you to dream again. You may have been discouraged by unkind people who seemed to be dream breakers who wanted to destroy you or the dream that God had given you, but I encourage you to dream again. You may feel defeated by your own failures, but I encourage you to dream again. For there is a time and there is a place when God planted in you a picture of a special future he had for you. You saw something that today seems so surreal and impossible. Back then, you couldn't believe it could be true of you. But in the passing of time, you've wondered if you've been sadly mistaken. But I've come today to tell you that God cannot lie, that what he has promised, he is able to perform, that his promises are yes, and in him they are amen, that he that has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. It is God that is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Would you believe again? Would you hope again? And would you dream again of what God has promised in your life? Would you bow your heads right now? And I want to pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we are plagued, oh God, with the feeling that we are unworthy, mediocre, not material, Lord, for a dream. We feel like imposters, Lord, when you put in us a vision of the future, a promise of what you could do in us and through us. And oh God, as time passes and trials come, the dream seems farther and farther away, and the promise seems more and more remote. But I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ to the person who has wondered if they really got it right or not, that you would rekindle in their spirit what you first gave to them and let them dream again, another dream that would be another affirmation of what you first spoke into their spirit. I pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, would you lift your hands, please, and thank the Lord right now. Thank him. Would you embrace what you may have almost given up on? Would you dare to dream again? And would you allow Jesus to keep working on you to make you the kind of person that could have a dream come true like that? This is not just a sermon for high school seniors. This is not just for young people. This is for every one of us that God has spoken to and promised a special future. Would you stand right now, lift your voice to the Lord? You may want to lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to receive the word of God today into your spirit. Some of you have dreams from the Lord. Business dreams, ministry dreams, family dreams. You have dreams that God has planted there. It was not a lie. It was not of you. It was of God. Don't worry about how God's going to do it. The king's heart is in his hand. He can turn it all around in a moment of time. That's it. I want you to see that dream coming to pass right now. I can't say it's going to be today or tomorrow, but I can tell you that the promises of God are yes. They are amen. It is impossible for him to lie. That's it. That's it. Somebody embrace it right now. That's it. Lift your hearts to the Lord. We're going to come to the altar in just a moment, but I want to make sure that we have heard from the Lord. I just felt a prompting of the Lord to share something with you that I shared with one person in the altar service in the last service. That some of you are like the picture that Jeremiah saw. Jeremiah 18, the Lord said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I'm going to teach you something there. Jeremiah goes to the house where a man is making pottery. He sees the clay on the wheel. And the clay is marred in the hands of the potter. It is not the imperfection in the potter. It is the imperfection in the clay. And the clay has a flaw in it. And the original design of the potter can no longer be fulfilled. So now the potter has a decision to make. He can look at the lump of clay that has been marred in his hands. He can throw it over into the trash heap and say, "You're not worthy of my work in your life." But the Bible says that the potter did not do that. But the potter made it again another vessel, as the potter saw good to make. And I want you to know that even if your life is flawed, even if you have failed the Lord in some area of your life, that He has not given up on you. The fact that you are here today, that you feel His voice in your life, that you feel His Spirit, He is telling you, stay on the wheel. Let me make you again another vessel. I have not given up on you. Do not give up on yourself. Now it's time for us to come and pray. But everyone who can, make a move to the altar. Amen. We're going to sing, but we need to come and pray. If you're ready to receive the Lord's word into your life, into your spirit, please come.